Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, are we packed today? Live in L.A. on a Monday. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1, and 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, and there is a lot of both. Joy Taylor joining me back from watching her brother win a state championship in Florida. How are you?
I'm great. Congrats, Isaiah Mason and Jason. St. Thomas Aquinas winning the state championship.
Last play of the game.
I have never been so stressed out in my life. I'm only standing. I'm banging on the seats. I was that hot mess auntie in the stands. But it was something else. It was like one of the proudest moments of my life.
Oh, so, good congrats, for you. Guys. Congrats, guys. And well, let's start with this. Lordy, lordy, Lou. Look at Dallas. That's the best team in the world. Everything clicked for Dallas. I mean, it was a showcase. They averaged 9 yards a pass and 6 yards a run and 475 yards and no turnovers and had the ball for 36 minutes. It was just one of those NFL games where everything clicks. You know, the kind Baltimore has every Sunday. Let me ask you, Cowboy fan, what took so long? All season we've been asking, where's the identity? What is Dallas? And yesterday they went all in on Zeke. And the great thing was, even when Zeke left the game, they went all in on Tony Pollard. They made a decision yesterday to pound the football. They have the best offensive line in the league. In a league, there are very few elite offensive lines. Zeke is probably best or second best running back in the league. But do you trust Dallas to do this 5 more times and win the Super Bowl? Because I don't. I've always struggled in life giving people huge credit for things they should do. You know, the old Chris Rock joke, I love my kids. Yeah, they're your kids. You're supposed to love your kids, right? Dallas ran the ball yesterday. Yes, you've got the best offensive line in Zeke. I'm not going to give you a ton of credit for that. It's what, week 16? You figured it out? Baltimore figured it out in week, I don't know, 2. You know, I mean, my takeaway is Troy Aikman was the face of the Cowboys, but he only threw it about 24 times because they had Emmitt Smith. They had a great offensive line. At that day and age, they didn't even have the best offensive line, arguably, in their division. Washington had a great O-line. But the truth is they didn't depend on Aikman. But he was the face of the franchise. And I still think Dak's the face of the franchise. But when you have maybe the best offensive line in the NFL by a mile and Zeke, you have to start with physicality. This should be a physical football team. And too often they're clever and pretty and cute. And Dak's much better throwing on second and four and third and one. Dak is much better on play action. And my question is, why did it take so long? I mean, listen, you know how many times I've watched the Cowboy game in the last 10 years? It's a highlight reel game. They beat a good team. They beat them handily. Everything clicks. It's unbelievable. Let's start with 7 times a year. But is it sustainable? Is it sustainable, tough, physical, pound it, point of attack football? I mean, this, you can't give them too much credit for figuring out the obvious. Just say it out loud. Yeah, I got this football team with a great running back who can run over people and a tremendous offensive line in a sport without many. You should be a physical football team, not giving you credit for it. In fact, if I was a Cowboy fan, I'd be discouraged this morning. I can still lose the division and miss the playoffs if I go next week to Philadelphia and lose a football game. Carson Wentz now is feeling it. Philadelphia is getting sort of healthy. I like their head coach. They've been a good big game team last several years. Cowboys can still miss the playoffs. You found your identity too late, and I don't think you can sustain it over the course of 5 games. I don't think you can duplicate it 6 times. I mean, tip of the cap, slow golf clap. Congratulations for that. Jerry Jones, oh, he was just going crazy in the box. He ran down to talk to the media afterwards.
just what the doctor ordered to get you out of the whatever you're in. You saw a lot of pride out there tonight, and I think hopefully you'll see that as we go forward into our really second season here.
Okay, Saints, they give me the same thing every week. Seattle, same thing every week. Green Bay, I've got my issues. Same thing every week. Dallas was awesome yesterday for 3.5 hours. Okay, going to Philadelphia. It's going to be cold, wet, sloppy, may snow, hail. Try to duplicate it. I don't think you can. Let me shift to this. As they say on Twitter, don't at me. Russell Wilson's my MVP. Seattle is now the number one seed in the NFC. Seattle, Packers, Saints, Niners, Vikings. We don't need to talk about the Bears anymore. We don't need to talk about the Rams. We got all our teams. The only question is Dallas or Philadelphia. I don't know how they're the number one seed. Don't ask me how. Pro Football Focus in a passing league says they have the 31st best pass blocking line. Their defense is 29th against the pass, 29th in sacks, 27th in total defense, 21st in scoring defense. Their wide receivers, don't get me started. And Seattle is the number one seed in the tougher NFC than the AFC. And they are number one for one reason. Russell Wilson. Listen, Lamar Jackson's fun, is great, and go ahead and vote for him. But he's got help everywhere. Tight ends, O-line, defense, corners. Russell has help nowhere. I mean, yesterday he puts on an absolute clinic, and Seattle's defense is just giving up touchdown after touchdown to backup quarterbacks for Carolina. By the way, here's what's funny about Seattle. There's always been an understanding in the NFL since I've been a kid that for Western teams, Pacific teams, traveling to the Eastern time zone and playing in those early games is always a nightmare. Raiders, Seahawks, Niners, Rams, going to the Eastern time zone. It's the abyss. It's the Bermuda Triangle. Except for one player in the entire sport, Russell Wilson. Seattle's the most geographically isolated sports franchise in the league. They have the furthest road trips, and Russell is 17-4 in the Eastern time zone. That's a better home record than everybody but New England in the NFL in the last 21 games. There's a play late in the game with Russell Wilson. It's classic Russell Wilson. It's 3rd-and-11. The defense is doing them no favors. The offensive line breaks down, and he's got to go to his gadget guy or his undrafted receiver or DK Metcalf. And this is classic Russell Wilson, making the play and winning the game, sealing it.
So if the Seahawks pick up a first down and stay in bounds, they'll be able to run out the clock. As Wilson rolling to his right, now he throws, and the catch is made for a first down.
Not spectacular, just Russell Wilson. What does valuable mean? Valuable to me means important. What other quarterback in this league is a number one seed in what other team? Who could take this team over and make them a number one seed? By the way, I'm not saying Baltimore would be as good without Lamar. I'm not saying that. He's made them spectacular. I mean, they're just great. But he's got help. He's getting coaching help and running back help and O-line help and defense help. He's got the best kicker in the league. I mean, I watched Russell Wilson yesterday, and I'm like, his receiver is a gadget guy. Every receiver you give him works. Do you know the Seattle Seahawks number three wide receiver this year? It's Will Disley. He's been out a month and a half. It's like what Carson Wentz did yesterday. He's got nothing to work with. I am so impressed with this guy. And Seattle is the number one seed in the NFC. It is inexplicable. It is it's remarkable to me. It is just remarkable. That's my MVP. Because I've said this forever and ever and ever and ever. Like, what is valuable me? For years and years and years, I've been saying LeBron's been the most valuable NBA player for 15 years. James Harden will score more points. Giannis will get more rebounds. But what's valuable mean? Valuable is what LeBron James has done to the LA Lakers. They're easily the best team in the league right now. Nobody else could do that. Seattle's the number one team in the toughest conference in America. How? Go look at the numbers. Nothing would tell you that. Nothing. The O-line, atrocious. They can't pass block. Defense can't stop anybody. Special teams, not as good as Baltimore. It's tip of the cap. Russell Wilson.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, there are two types of quarterbacks in the NFL. And sometimes it takes you a while to separate the two. But there are two types of quarterbacks in the NFL. There are quarterbacks that can win games. Gardner Minshew can win you a game. Nick Foles can win you a game. Case Keenum can have a really good season. And then there's guys you give $300 million to, right? There's the Aaron Rodgers, the Patrick Mahomes. There's the Russell Wilsons. They're franchise guys. They can have down seasons. But we all kind of, you kind of know, right? So you have to have four things in 2019 for me to give you the big check. You got to have some athleticism. We have a deterioration of offensive lines in the league for now 5 years. It's getting worse. You got to be accurate. This is not college football. Guys are not wide open. Accuracy's always been important. A temperament. These franchises are now worth $5 and $10 billion. I need a grown-up in the room. It's been my knock on Jameis Winston forever. And the other thing is, can't make a ton of mistakes. Even if you're productive, you can't make a ton of mistakes. That second interception, boom, loss. You can make about one bad throw a game. And after that, you're in big trouble. And then, got to be great at something. Something. Big, arm, size, fast. So I watched the entire game yesterday, Arizona-Cleveland. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, number one picks Oklahoma. Kyler's better in all four. Kyler's athletic. Kyler's more accurate. Kyler's got a better temperament. Kyler makes fewer mistakes. And he's got a special. Are we sure Baker Mayfield's not just a guy who can win games? Yeah, he can win some games. Take out his three Cincinnati wins. What is Baker? Not very good. A guy you can win games with. Athletic, way overrated. Accurate, used to be. Temperament, nightmare. Mistakes, too many of them. What is he? And what's the special? Kyler throws a better ball. Kyler's got a better temperament. Kyler's a better athlete. Kyler makes fewer mistakes. And Kyler's got all sorts of special, baby. He has got special. He may throw the nicest ball I've ever seen. That baseball stuff translates. So, you know, I ask it. Put the pom-poms down. I watched Gardner Minshew yesterday for Jacksonville. Baker's Gardner Minshew with a little stronger arm. That's what he is. A guy that can win you games. But and there's a report yesterday from Ian Rappaport. Now, this is not a knock on Ian. He's a fine reporter. I don't believe this is going to be the case, but he has it sourced that Cleveland's going to retain Freddie Kitchens. He said that before the game yesterday. I think he's dead man coaching. I think it's done. I don't think they have a choice. I think general manager John Dorsey, if he doesn't get rid of Kitchens, next year goes in, we see more of the same. He's out of work and he'll never get a GM job again because you get two chances in this league to be a GM. You fail at both. He got booted out of Kansas City. If he gets fired here and this mess doesn't get better, and clearly Baker and Freddie Kitchens, this is not exactly harmony. Something's happening that's not working for Baker. But it's don't give me the excuses. Kyler Murray started fewer games in college. He's less experienced than Baker. He's a rookie. He's working with a rookie head coach. He's got a worse offensive line. He's got far fewer weapons. So I don't want to hear the coach. Do you think Cliff Kingsbury's great? Are you going to tell me he's a great coach? Well, the offensive line. Arizona's maybe worse. Probably is. Well, yeah, the weapons. Baker's got more. I mean, I'm sitting there yesterday, and I'm like, listen, I've said this with Mitch Trubisky. He's not a number two pick. He can quarterback in this league. He can win games with Mitch Trubisky. I'm not backing up the Brinks truck. To forget the draft order. Forget where guys get drafted. 2019, there's four boxes you got to check. Kyler checks all of them. Baker checks none of them. Used to be an accuracy guy. Now that's regressed. I don't know what's happened there. Sales everything.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So now we move into, what is it, week 16? A couple games left. We kind of have a sense of what everybody is. There are no teams. Baltimore, as I said just a second ago, feels like Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. You had a very unique quarterback athlete. people were kind of trying to figure him out. He was playing with a ton of confidence. The coaching staff had it all working. They were very, very healthy. The schedule worked out. And all of a sudden you looked up and Carolina was in the Super Bowl. And it feels like that to me. New England will play him again. I don't think they can beat him. Kansas City would have to go to Baltimore. I don't think they could beat him. So Baltimore feels like the team to me. But everybody, I mean, I know the strengths and weaknesses. I can see teams. I watch. Except Green Bay. I'll make a stab at what I think they are. Very good on script. They're the actor that can't ad lib. But that actor can make a nice living for himself. But yesterday against the Bears, they had 12 first downs. That's with Aaron Rodgers. They had atrocious third down opportunities. They had the ball 10 minutes less than Mitch Trubisky. Their defense couldn't get Mitch Trubisky off the field. Aaron Rodgers had 12 first downs. Aaron Rodgers leads the NFL right now, first quarter passer rating and first quarter touchdowns. Do you know what Aaron Rodgers is in the last six games after the first quarter? In 18 quarters of football, 57% completion percentage. Aaron Rodgers, 81 passer rating, four touchdown passes. Okay, so what that tells you is they have a young coach. They're very good all week in the film room. And they come out with a couple of beautiful drives, 15 scripted plays, and their money. The coaching staff can clearly see opportunities and weaknesses. But this is an adjustment league. Okay, you got to be able to. That's what Pete Carroll does, and Sean Payton did, and Mike Tomlin's done. And that's what Harbaugh does, and that's what Pete Carroll and Belichick and Andy Reid. And this team doesn't adjust. It also tells me they're the opposite of Houston. Houston is not necessarily very good on script. And then Deshaun and their wide receivers and their playmaking linebackers just kind of adjust and make plays. Green Bay doesn't have the ability off the script to make plays. Why? They're not that talented. Houston has a lot of talent. They're not very good on script, but good God, they look like flag football in the second half of games, making plays, running around, athlete better than your athlete. Green Bay, after the first quarter, so the coaching staff is great in the room all week. This is not an incompetent coaching staff. But once they get off the script, they don't adjust. They're not good off the script. They couldn't get Trubisky off the field yesterday. And Aaron, in the last 18 quarters, not in the first, got four passing touchdowns and is as accurate as Baker Mayfield. What? With that receiving core? With Aaron Jones? Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he admitted it yesterday.
I don't know that we have the full respect of the entire league at this point, based on some of our performances, where we got beat by a couple scores and kind of the reaction, I would assume, to those situations. But we're 7-1 at home. We have an inside track at the 2 seed. Obviously, we have an opportunity to wrap up the division next week, which guarantees a home game and probably in the 3rd seed at worst. I like our chances. I like our football team.
I like them too. But am I wrong here? Am I nuts here? They're not talented enough to make plays off the script. My athlete against your athlete. That's what Houston does. Gets out coached, doesn't have good protection, butchers the special teams game, and Houston just finds a way. Deshaun Watson, those receivers make plays. Green Bay can't do that because they're not that talented. And at the coaching position, they're clearly competent. Monday morning to Saturday night, they're good. But I don't know. I can't get my arms around it. It feels like a team at Lambeau. Boy, just say it out loud. Do you think they're good enough to beat Minnesota at home, San Francisco at home, Seattle at home? I mean, they're definitely good enough to beat Dallas there, but Dallas and Philadelphia, whoever wins, will be playing a home game. Everybody goes back to this. Well, they're 11-3. I'm not disputing. I'm not saying they're poorly coached. I'm not saying they don't have any talent. But man, by this time, I got to get my arms around something. And it's I for you Bears fans, I love you. I love you, Bear fans. You got to stop with defending Trubisky. You got to stop. He's a great kid. I've been told somebody in the room, he's a hard worker. Players love Trubisky. Come on. Come on. You got to stop. There's guys that can win games, Case Keenum, even win a division for a year. And then there are guys you pay $300 million to. Come on, Chicago. You're a smart sports town. Stop running to Twitter. This is not a franchise, $15 million, $18, $20, $30 million, $33 million a year guy. But what's even more discouraging for Green Bay is he had the ball on the field 10 minutes longer than you did with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they controlled the line of scrimmage. What?
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I have big, strong opinions. I do, 15 segments a day. Sometimes I whiff, sometimes I'm right. Colin right, Colin wrong. Here we go.
Where Colin was right?
Been saying this all year. It's not a fad. Mobile quarterbacks are here to stay. Offensive lines are regressing. You got to have a guy that can move. This weekend, Lamar won, Mahomes won, Watson won, Aaron Rodgers won, Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, and Josh Allen. You know who didn't? Phillip Rivers. You got to be able to move. It is, listen, this is what high school now and college is giving the pros. So you can try to turn these guys into pocket quarterbacks, but instinctively, that's not how they play. They want to move. They can move. And you got to build an offense around it. And frankly, I think it's way more fun to watch. I like my quarterback moving around. I like watching Russell Wilson and Carson Wentz, even though occasionally you may get banged around a little bit.
Where Colin was wrong.
Blazing 5 went 2-3-1. We are 52% on the year. Don't ask me how Seattle pushed. They were clearly the better team and dominating for most of it. Raiders, I'm in a bad mood over that one too. That is life. 52%. NFL is crazy. We got to get to 55% because that's my annual average.
Where Colin was right.
See Carson Wentz yesterday with three receivers. Two I'd never heard of. One was pretty good in college. Wentz goes 30 of 43. They're asking him to throw now over 40 times a game. Three touchdowns, 270 yards, 109 passer rating. Yes, he makes mistakes. There's nobody open half the time. But that throw to Miles Sanders, good Lord. Back-to-back weeks, game-winning drives. And again, I'm not saying he's flawless. I'm not saying there aren't issues. This kid is working with tight ends. That's basically the offense. And guys you've never heard, look at that throw. Holy moly. So, and again, I want my quarter. Mitch Trubisky yesterday was good except when it counted. Carson Wentz wasn't always good, but was great when it counted. That's my kind of quarterback.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I've been calling it. Kansas City yesterday was spectacular in the snow. And I called him last week. I said they're a windbreaker team. They'll be good as long as it's sunny. Yesterday, they played in a snowstorm, and Patrick Mahomes was brilliant. And Travis Kelce had 11 catches. You wouldn't land a plane in that visibility. I mean, it's incredible. He was spot on. 27 of 34 for Mahomes in at times incredibly low visibility weather. Everybody caught the ball. Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. They played with unbelievable harmony and discipline in lousy weather. And I've said they can't run the football. They feel too finesse. They're a windbreaker team. I like winter coat teams like Baltimore. But boy, they proved me wrong yesterday.
Where Colin was right.
Optics matter. I was never a Matt Patricia guy. Oh, he's a genius. I don't doubt that. Hat on backwards, sloppy. This guy's a mess, and they can't even get the Lions defense right, and he's a defensive coach. They don't take the ball away near the bottom in points allowed, can't win games. Matt Patricia is now 9-20-1, and that division's got a bunch of good players and some really good coaches, and he feels like the fourth best coach in that division. Hat on backwards, that Roger Goodell t-shirt he wore yesterday, he looked like a frat boy. Don't tell me your coach is smart. A lot of these guys are really smart. You got to be able to stand in front of millionaires and sell your message. And I never bought into this. I thought he was another really smart Belichick guy who would never own the room. Matt Patricia, it's not working. It's not. He can't even get their defense right. You can miss, but you got to get your side of the ball right. They're not doing that 3 years in.
where Colin was wrong.
I mean, I keep doubting the Minnesota Vikings, and I keep saying, God, Kirk Cousins. But, you know, they don't have any holes. They're 10-4. That game yesterday against the Chargers, that defense, I mean, you know, what can you say? That counts as a home game, by the way, if you heard the crowd. I mean, what are you going to say? They're very, very good. Kirk Cousins makes enough plays. I mean, yesterday, Dalvin Cook gets hurt at running back. They bring in a guy named Mike Boone. 13 carries, 2 touchdowns. Who's Mike Boone? Daniel Boone, I've heard of. Aaron Boone, I've heard of. Who's Mike Boone? He's a couple touchdowns. That's who he is. I guess, Goulet, get him on your fantasy team. I got to stop doubting this team. Seriously.
Where Colin was right.
I also said, listen, it's time to move off Phillip Rivers. Like, you can't be unathletic and mistake prone. You're going into a new stadium. You can't sell any tickets. Last 5 games, he's had 11 picks. This isn't working. It's not working. It's just, he makes mistakes that veteran quarterbacks just can't. You can't make that throw as a veteran quarterback. Cannot make that throw. Lamar Jackson's not making that throw. He's been playing for an hour. Kyler Murray's not making that throw. He's been playing for less than an hour. It's time. Go get Tua. Go get Justin Herbert. But you know what he's become? Phillip Rivers has become a less productive Jameis Winston. So I can't go on the show and bang on Jameis Winston and support Phillip Rivers. It's time to move on.
Where Colin was wrong.
Joe Burrow basically broke every Heisman voting record of all time. Highest percentage of first place votes, percentage named on ballot, margin of victory. In a year where there was a lot of good competition and a lot of good Jalen Hurts, a lot of good emotional stories. More than anything, Ed Orgeron, I never thought Ed Orgeron would be the head coach of a team that's the most interesting offensive team in college football. He's a power guy. He's a great recruiter. Ed Orgeron proved me wrong. You know, he bombed at Ole Miss. I never thought he fit in L.A. at USC. Well, I was wrong on that one. He's all alpha. He's a great motivator. He's an unbelievable recruiter. And that speech, here's what his star player thinks about him. Wow.
Coach O. You have no idea what you mean to my family. You know, I didn't play for 3 years. You took a chance on me, not knowing if I could play or not. And I'm forever grateful for you. Can you imagine a guy like Coach O giving me the keys to his football program? He just means so much to me and my family and to LSU. I sure hope they give him a lifetime contract. He deserves it.
Good luck recruiting against LSU over the next month.
Where Colin was right.
Sideline demeanor matters. And I said Adam Gase and Sam Darnold this week. It matters. Did you see yesterday Cleveland, Freddie Kitchens, and Jarvis Landry? The Jets and the Browns. We've been saying this all year with Cleveland. Something's wrong on the sidelines. Baker's over there. OBJ's over there before big drives. It matters. It's not superficial. If the sideline's uptight, then there's problems. I always say, if you go to a party and you see a couple and they're icy publicly, what's the drive home like with a couple? What's the couple like in their place? You got to watch body language. Jet sidelines lousy, Cleveland sidelines lousy, and it becomes, in both instances, a wildly inconsistent football operation with the Jets and the Browns.
Where Colin was wrong.
I bought back into the Rams. God, let's stop walking on eggshells with Todd Gurley. Just admit it. You can't get back-to-back games out of him. They weren't competitive yesterday. They got to, speaking of come-to-Jesus meetings, they got to acknowledge. They got to draft another running back. I know they got one last year. They got to get another one. They're trying to fool all of us that they do one thing, and they're trying to hide the Gurley thing, and everybody in the room knows. They can't run the football. They had 22 yards yesterday. They had 23 minutes of time of possession. Own your stuff. I fell into it. I'm like, oh, they're moving Goff around and Todd Gurley. Yeah, Todd Gurley had a great game last week. Therefore, he can't handle too many carries this week. They got to fix that fast.
Where Colin was wrong.
Remember when Kyler Murray was on the Dan Patrick Show? And I was like, this video is damning. This is bad. This guy, he's too small. I don't get his personality. I'm watching him yesterday. This kid's going to work. I mean, his instincts, his speed, the way he throws the football, He is gifted. Now, I still wish he was 6'3". He is just flat out gifted. And that interview, maybe I looked at it through the wrong end of the telescope.
Are you going to the combine?
I don't know.
Well, wait. Dad, is he going to the combine? Dad had no comment there. Pro day?
I mean, that's after the combine.
Yeah, are you going to do a pro day? Yeah? Yeah.
I guess. If you want to say yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Is it possible he just didn't want to trap himself? He didn't want to say anything that would get him in trouble. He didn't want to make any promises. I had huge, huge doubts about Kyler Murray. But I watched the entire game yesterday. I've watched them four entire games this year. That's going to work in the NFL in 2019. That works. Still wish he was taller, but that works. Maybe the temperament thing, he's the opposite of Baker. He gives you nothing on the microphone. I'm not so sure that the future of the NFL quarterback isn't that on a microphone and not always having to win the argument on the microphone. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong on a Monday.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
James Harrison, a decade and a half, 15 NFL seasons, multiple Super Bowls, multiple-time Pro Bowler, the all-time Steelers sack leader from Kent State undrafted. We love that story. Let's talk your Steelers last night. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been doing it with smoke and mirrors. I think it's one of Mike Tomlin's better coaching jobs. They've lost last couple years A.B., Levy, and Bell, James Conner hurt, then he's back, Juju's out, Pouncey out. You know, last night felt like to me this team was doing it with smoke and mirrors anyway, right?
I don't think so much they was doing it with smoke and mirrors. I think last night if they had got more into just consistently running the ball and stopped trying to have, you know, Hodges do all the passing that he was doing and, you know, targeting, you know, one of the best cornerbacks in the game really wasn't, you know, the way to go. I think up until a certain point, you know, if they had ran the ball more, Connor was running the ball good. They got a whole, you know, group of running backs over there that can run the ball well. The offensive line is doing well. I think they needed to just run a little more and stop looking for chunks. You know, he's a guy that wants chunks. I want chunks.
Mike likes big plays.
You don't need chunks. You need to win. Style points don't matter, right? Get the win. Like if that's three, four yards of, you know, running the ball in a cloud of dust, and that's what it is, you know. But have consistent, you know, good plays. Stay away from the negative plays. And I think they just went to passing the ball a little too much.
So New England video, once again, Spygate, Deflategate, whatever gate this is. Do you believe New England, or do you think they're BSing us and they sent somebody to videotape scouts?
The reason I have to believe it is because I don't think Belichick is that arrogant or stupid enough to actually go back in there and do that again after they went through all the other stuff that they went through. When you look at departments, you have a social media broadcast side, you know, people who's creating content, you know, stuff that is worthy for right, whatever it is they're doing. That's the group that was there. When you have your people that are actually football people, operations that actually film games, those are two different people. And those two groups don't really communicate. You know what I'm saying? So for them to know every rule, it's hard. Like, it's no way that you could say that everybody in the organization of every NFL team that is in those areas knows every rule. It's not. Now, this is something that everybody needs to pull together and be like, especially over there, and say, hey, these are the rules. You can't do this. I don't care what content you're creating. And I understand what they're saying as far as we needed to. We're getting this to get a perspective of what he's looking at, what they're looking at, because I did something like that, and we shot for literally 10 hours. And I was literally on there for like less than 2 minutes of actually showing. So they didn't use 99% of the video that we shot. It was just there just in case they thought something looked better here or there. And now you got a situation where they're actually filming a live game and you don't have time to go back and say, hey, redo that, because it's a game going on.
Right.
So for me, I believe what they're saying, but that's not going to stop the punishment that needs to come down the pike because you broke the rules. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. You know, like I said before, if I'm driving 100 miles an hour and a cop pulls me over, he says, why were you going 100? I say, I didn't know the speed limit. He go, not give me the ticket? No, he go, give me the ticket and maybe take me to jail. So there's definitely going to be a punishment handed down. It's going to be harsher than what it would be for anybody else in that situation, because you have a record already of doing this.
Were you blown away by the Cowboys last night? Can they duplicate it? Is it sustainable? What did you make of that blowout win?
I think that's what they need to do. I think they need to run the ball. They need to. They're supposed to have one of the best offensive lines, right? They're supposed to have the best run, one of the best running backs. You're spending your money there. Let's run the ball and let Dak pass the ball 20, 25 times a game, give him, high, completion rate passes that are likely to, be good for him, and get the teams to where they're putting eight in the box. Now let's go ahead and get your pass out here and there. I don't see them trying to win the way they've been, or being able to win the way they've been trying to win with Dak passing the ball 30 and 40 times a game, because he's consistently inconsistent.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think when you have the best offensive line, you should – people forget this with Troy Aikman. Troy only threw it about 24 times a game. They had Michael Irvin. They had Troy. But the reality is everything started with Emmett. They created, from the very beginning of Dallas Cowboy games, the line of scrimmage, the point of attack. We're going to own it. We're going to run the clock, even with Troy Aikman. So, to me, Dak's the face of the franchise. Troy was the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. But really, the physicality started with Emmett, and the physicality should, like you're saying, start with Zeke.
Right.
Okay. So, Baker Mayfield was accurate, and now he's not accurate. And unless you want to bail on Baker Mayfield, and I don't think Cleveland does at this point, they want to give him another year. What do you do with Freddie Kitchens? If you fire him, that's your fourth guy in two full seasons, your third year for Baker, fourth head coach, interim or full-time. Are you willing to make another coaching staff, a new playbook, new language, or do you stick with Freddie?
What was Freddie's statement about his feelings of
Freddie?
Being...
Oh, yesterday Freddie said, somebody asked him about his job security, and he said, I want to win games. I don't care about my job security.
Don't care about my job security. So up until that point, I would have held on to him one more year to see what he could do. That statement, I don't care about my job security, means I need to fire you because you don't care about your job. You didn't go in there getting a job saying, hey, I don't care if I get this job, but hey, I'm here to interview for it. So that statement would make me think that if you don't care, how should my players feel? How much should they care? What should they give to this if you don't care about your job security and being here with us for this team with something that we're trying to build?
But isn't this the problem with the Browns? The Steelers are going to have Mike Tomlin. And the Ravens are going to have John Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. And once again, Cleveland's on another head coach. Couldn't I make the argument, just for continuity's sake, I'm just going to stay with the guy to show the league. I mean, basically you're telling the league, we give you about a year and then we're out. I mean, you're not going to get a very good candidate, are you? Do you think their talent's that good?
I think the only way they get a very good candidate is give that candidate a very long contract. Something like, Gruden got, but something along those
six
lines.
6 years.
Yeah, that is, that's guaranteed money. They're going to be there. They're going to have time to try and build something in this franchise. Firing him, I would have to. I just don't like that statement.
It bothers you.
Yes, it bothers
you. And you like Cleveland's talent.
Oh, yes. On paper, before the season, everybody's like, oh, Cleveland might be the winners of the division. People were saying that. On paper, they look great. And you got Odell. He's playing through injury. He has been for a while, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let's talk about Lamar Jackson Thursday night. I think the league – I don't think mobile quarterbacks are a fad. I think offensive lines are getting worse. College is giving you more athletes at quarterback. You can only do with what college gives you. And we're seeing increasingly Carson Wentz moves and Kyler Murray moves and – Russell Wilson moves, and this is what the league, Josh Allen's a great runner. The league is now giving you athletes at quarterback, so that's becoming the league. Mm-hmm. So with Lamar, he is so unique. Is there a way, you face some mobile quarterbacks, is there a way to slow down the freight train?
For me, personally, once he does the read option, they lose that protection. So you got a lot of guys coming in there and breaking down. What I'm going to tell my players is don't break down. If you got contain on him, I want you to shoot at his outside leg from his hip down to his knee, and I want you to hit him. If you miss, you miss, but do not stop. Do not break down. If he jumps, that gives whoever's on the other side a half second more to try and get there. If he cuts inside, that keeps him inside where he should be or where you want him to be. But this is the thing. You still get to hit him because he went into the read option, which means he loses those protections. When he loses those protections, I get two, three steps now to hit him. So I don't care whether he has the ball or not. When you get there, don't look for him to have the ball. I want you to hit him, tackle him, whatever it is, because play in and play out. I talked to Michael Vick about this actually back. I said, once you start getting hit so much, you're not going to want to keep running that play. That's like when you do a fake to a running back and he goes through and the linebacker comes down and smacks him and tackles him. Those are the same thing that you could do to that quarterback now because he loses their protections once he does that play. Guys that come in there and break down and shake with him, that's what he wants. Like, you see plays all the time where, like, the guy from Kansas City, don't break down. I want you to just shoot. So while he's trying to get you to break down, you're getting closer. Just shoot. Even if you miss, you got a 50% chance of missing anyway. Shoot. If you hit him, you get a little ow. And you get enough of them throughout the course of a game, you stop wanting to run certain things, like Mike was saying.
Yeah. So there's a team in the NFL. Go back to your history. I can't figure out. I am a believer. I know this sounds crazy. That the best teams in the league are the best cultures. It's not always the best players. Most of the best cultures in the NFL, Seattle, Green Bay, New England, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, are cold weather cities. The mm-hmm. warm weather cities are a mess. Mm-hmm. Miami, Tampa, Jacksonville, Houston underachieves, Dallas underachieves, mm-hmm. Arizona, Chargers. There is something to be said about the winters are harsh. Mm-hmm. It's cold. You stay longer. The restaurants aren't open. I show the map all the time. Mason-Dixon line. Only the Saints below the Mason-Dixon line are really, really well run, often overachieve, and I would consider them a great, great football culture. Mm-hmm. And so when I look at the Rams and the Chargers and I look at all this stuff, am I nuts on this? Like, the L.A. Rams, I think, have to come to Jesus with Todd Gurley. Either use him or move him. Because you keep giving me 22 carries, 6, 24, 11. Is my theory crazy? The colder the weather, the harsher. The NFL rewards tough guys and rewards mm-hmm. hard and rewards punitive. Mm-hmm. And you got to make big, tough decisions. Like Baltimore's got to let go of Joe Flacco. And mm-hmm. the Steelers had to get let go of AB. Do you think my theory's crazy?
I won't say it's crazy. It's some realness to it. I believe that teams don't actually have to practice and go through that grind, you know, that the rigors of actually going out there every day and practicing in harsh, nasty weather. And to be honest with you, when I was in New England, like, we practiced when it was like -5, -8.
Outdoors.
Outdoors. They got an indoor facility. We're outdoors because that's what the game was going to be. That's what it called for. And even when the field froze on us because they covered the field, and I guess by the time they uncovered it, it was a little thin layer of water, and it froze as soon as they uncovered it. So he sent us inside on the turf. We played in the game stadium on the turf, and I'm talking it was like -8. You know, the only time we went inside, it was a blizzard, and we couldn't see, and he was upset about that.
Hey, how about Pittsburgh? Did you practice outdoors?
Yeah, you practice outside. As long as the turf is still, the grass turf is still, pliable, and you can dig your cleats into it,
okay,
then
Joy,
you practice outside.
See, my theory's not nuts.
Well, a lot of guys, you got guys like warm weather teams that come up there when I used to play in Pittsburgh, like San Diego,
you could
Miami.
Sense it.
Sense it? What you mean? They're sitting there. And they're shivering. Like, literally, they're shivering.
I mean,
you
don't spend your day. I mean, aside from the fact that you practice there, you're also living in that climate. So it's not like you're, like, sitting outside on your front porch or anything, but you wake up every day and you're, like, you know, defrosting
like
your
when
car.
When I played in Pittsburgh,
with it every day.
I didn't even put on sweats until it was below 30 degrees. I went to practice with flip-flops, T-shirt, and shorts.
In 9 degrees.
Until it got below 30, that's the only time I put on sweats.
See, my this is my theory on this league. This NFL football rewards tough, and the NFL's a winter league, and the cold weather, crappy weather teams that mm-hmm. deal with weather issues. It's a hardened environment,
mm-hmm. especially when you get home field advantage. You got it now. Now you got the weather that you're used to. You got a warm weather team. That's the thing I want. I want a warm weather team to come up there and, you know, get there on a Saturday. And all of a sudden, you know, they're dropped into, you know, 5-10 degrees and a wind chill of negative something. I want them to have that because they can't. You can't get that in practice.
It's part of the reason why
you can't make cold. You can make heat. Like, we would go inside if we were going somewhere warm and they turned the heat on, you know, and even when Bill was there and we were playing cold and we couldn't practice outside, we had to go inside, he'd open all the doors and turn all the fans on. I'm talking about
New England.
Bill Cowher.
Oh, Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher, yes. We had an indoor facility. So if we couldn't practice on the turf because it was froze, we like, you know, he's like, we're going inside. So everybody like, yeah, we're going inside. You get in there, all the doors open, the fans blowing. It's worse in there than it is outside.
Yeah. That is so funny. My theory is not crazy.
That's part of the reason why Miami usually sneaks a cold weather team towards the end of the season.
Because
you're used to it. Then you go down there, you got the heat and the humidity.
Yep.
Matters.
Can't handle it. Good seeing you, bud.
You too.